Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. A little past, well, I don't know, a couple hours past now where the big breaking news hit. More than a dozen missiles at U.S. forces at a base there. And we're still getting news from CBS and finding out exactly what's going to happen next. The one thing I'm surprised most about is that the White House said President Trump closely monitoring the launch of Iranian missiles targeting Americans at a base in Iraq. But they say the Iranian missiles at this point, I saw there was it Fox News reporting that there seems to be no U.S. casualties, which begs the question. Now, how does the United States respond to this? If there was no casualties, but this is obviously a action that would be meant to provoke or start a war, what do you do? Do you go back in full force? Because we've already walked up that line and said, yeah, go ahead. If you do something, we're going to do it tenfold back. You know, we got these 50-some sites we got in our targets. Go ahead, do something. The thing that confuses me the most about this is, and maybe confusing is not the right word, and I'm going to open up the phone lines in a moment at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Because what should the United States do next? If you were President Trump, would you immediately strike? Would you hold off? Would you not do it? The thing that confuses me, and I'll just use that for lack of a better term, if we have all the satellite monitoring and we can watch what Iran was doing leading up into this point, we understood that they were planning and that an immediate attack looks like it was near. Apparently, they saw this coming. They just didn't exactly know 100% the specifics, but they knew it. Probably enough to get people evacuated or in out of harm's way if they thought it was coming to that one base in Iraq. So no American casualties at the last report I saw. And at that point, if you knew it was coming, why didn't you just use that as your opportunity to retaliate against the people that were coming up against your base? That could have been the retaliation in its own. But now you allow it to happen and you're stuck with this. You're stuck with this. What do you do next scenario? And I think you could have predicted this is what we're going to be in. Maybe there is a grander idea of what would be happening next. If we go back to when Iran shot down that drone, and a lot of people cried and they said, you can't go on a bombing spree for shooting down a drone because there was no Americans killed during that. It was just a piece of equipment. You can't start in a war with a piece of equipment. Now we're stuck in that same scenario because the people are, I'm sure, going to come out and say, well, there was no American casualties. You can't start a war for launching and blowing up an American building that there were no casualties from Americans in there. Or can you? But we're at the point where you got to do something. You can't escalate things and then do nothing. Because then what happens? Then what happens? We're no better than any other administration where we get trampled on. If your whole idea of the way that you're going to run this administration, if the whole point of you being the commander in chief at this point is to say we're going to be done with this nonsense, and when there is warranted ways to react to escalation like this, we're going to do it. And this is one of those ways that are warranted. But if you don't do it, then what do we do now? What do we do? We're going to get updates from CBS News, and I have a CBS News channel where I can get long-form coverage. Like they're,
if the U.S. doesn't respond,
see, look, they're covering the same thing right now. It's like CBS is listening to this show, Overnight America.
That it is likely the U.S. will respond, but if the U.S. decides that this was a pound of flesh for a pound of flesh or what have you, how would the Iranians interpret that?
Yeah, and see, they're asking the same questions. I've had CNN on because inside of our office, that's the only channel that we have that's piped into that TV. We don't have like a cable box in there, but we do have like a closed circuit feed of what the news is. And it just so happens the only channel we get in is CNN. So I was watching them and basically they walked around in circles. I will throw a bone to Anderson Cooper. He did an excellent job covering this tonight. It's not often I give CNN a little bit of credit, but they did a really good job. They went into this breaking news type of mentality. Oh, we got to cover this. We got to do this. Got to do that. And they were really floundering there for a while. They didn't know what they were doing. Is it Aaron Burnett who was on the air at the time? Anderson Cooper took over. He did an excellent job covering it. So I'll give him a little bit of credit. But it wouldn't have been my first choice. I wanted to have them on if there was another option. All right, let me take some of your calls on this and I'll get the text messaging up too. Let me go to Simon who's calling in first. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, good show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, a couple of points here. I'm going to go a little wider field. Let's talk about the South China Sea. Where are our allies? Where are the Europeans? Where are the Dutch, the Danes, the Norwegians, the Romanians, the Bulgarians? Where are the Italians? Where are the Malaysians, the Indonesians? And let's look at the Middle East. Where is Oman? Where is Saudi Arabia? Where is the United Arab Emirates? Where is Jordan?
This is a great point. I wonder if there's some resentment going on ever since the United States pulled out of the deal with Iran. I wonder if they're looking at this like, all right, you did this to yourself, so they want to sit this out. That shouldn't be how allies look at this sort of thing. They should be able to look at what the action was, and they should be able to stand by their people. And you know what? I'm surprised. There should be a bigger response from our allies over there right now.
I'm very disappointed with the allies, extremely nervous about China, especially their activities in the South China Sea. Not too concerned about Iran, certainly not too concerned about Iraq. Very, very disappointed in the allies. A few countries will probably step up to the plate. They are basically English-speaking countries, the United Kingdom, which is where I'm from, maybe Australia, but New Zealand, but extremely disappointed in the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
If the American, you know, these countries, all the countries I've mentioned, including Spain, Italy, Germany, France, Belgium, Holland, all of these countries should be putting up aircraft in the Middle East. They should be stationed there. Why is it that time and time again, since the Second World War, does America have to act as the police state and bail the countries out while other countries in the world get stronger and stronger? Example, China and Russia.
Yeah. Thanks, Simon. Thank you for calling in.
No problem.
All right. It's right now in what, still early morning hours in Iraq. And part of the question is, if you're going to do any sort of reaction, it's better to do it when it's nightfall. I don't know. I'm really surprised at this point the president said he wasn't going to speak tonight. It looks like they sent everyone home. So we're still looking. There could be a statement, but let me go to Jeff in Ferguson. Hi.
Hey, thank you. I think they want to wait and see what the assessment is before they do anything, make any statements or anything like that. And since it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be daylight soon, so why not just wait?
Mm-hmm.
And second, when you were talking about the differences between the drone strike and the drone attack and this.
Yeah.
See, we already knew there wouldn't be any people on the drone.
Right.
But they intentionally targeted facilities where there would be people.
Oh, that's interesting. So their intention was to kill Americans in this case with the drone. They knew they wouldn't. Well, I can see what you're saying there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What the intention was.
Yeah. And like I said, they probably figured it was. And like I said before, they're probably waiting to see what the damage is before they consider any more responses.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Hey, good to hear from you, Jeff. Thanks for calling in.
Good night.
Let me go to Gary. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Gary. What's going on?
Well, I keep hearing you guys say no American casualties. If an Iraqi or some other person was killed, shouldn't we be defending them since we started this?
It depends. I haven't heard any casualties yet. All the other places and people that were at that base, I don't think any casualties have been reported, but it's still early. But let's say there was a death at that base. I can't imagine the United States being told to evacuate or get out of the harm's way and there not being some shared intelligence for everyone else. But let's just say hypothetically there was a casualty from another country. Then we're kind of at the point where we have to wait to see what that other country wants to do. We're secondary to them. So if they're going to be retaliating, then that's when we would join in on them. I don't think we would automatically do it on their behalf.
All right. Well, I guess I just feel differently that those people, had we not done our drone strike and killed that guy, they wouldn't be shooting and bombing people It was our fault, our responsibility that they sent those bombs. And if it killed other people, we should be defending that because we did this.
You think we're responsible for this? You think taking out a terrorist, we're responsible for what happened after that?
Yeah, I think your actions have consequences.
All right, you think we had it coming to us, getting our base bombed?
No, I don't think we had it coming to us. But what I'm saying is we killed one of their people. Now, they're killing people, or possibly killing people. And if they killed people because of a reaction to what we did, then, yeah, I think we should be still defending whoever, where we're at in Iraq.
Okay.
That's why we're over there, right? Is that why we're over there, to defend them?
Somewhat. And also defend part of our interest, I guess. Hey, Gary, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if Iran had the number one terrorist taken out, and we're not just saying we took out accidentally. It's not like we're during the Obama administration where we're striking hospitals and things like that. We had a targeted strike that took out the number one terrorist in Iran. That's it. Okay. So producer Mike texting in, let's see. There are casualties among the Iraqis in the airbase following the rocket attack, per a security source. That's the first time I saw that one. CNN must have been putting that up pretty soon. All right. We're going to take an update from CBS News in just a moment, and we're going to be doing updates throughout the course of the night. And we'll take some more of your calls coming up at 314-436-7900 on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
And welcome back. So I had some other things scheduled for tonight. David Peter Allen wrote an article about the undesirable trolley here in the city of St. Louis. He's been writing about rail for like 20 years, an advocate for most rail. And then we're basically doing an autopsy of this thing now and figuring out what went wrong. And I think he's nailed a couple of the big points as an outsider. He has some good perspective. We're going to talk to Tom Sullivan. He was at the city council meeting, and he also has some things to say about the trolley shutting down. If it does, if it doesn't, and he's got definitely his thoughts on that. But we're going to play it by ear tonight. Whenever there's a different news story or an update of what's going down in Iran, we're going to have to find a way to bring it to you immediately. And that's one of the beautiful things about being live with you here tonight on Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. I'll take some more of your calls here before we get to the weather and another update from CBS. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Big Ed, who's over in Illinois. Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
I just wanted to comment on that. The guy who was a couple, maybe before me, I don't know, saying that we started the whole thing. You know, I don't understand what he's thinking or how he came to that conclusion, because the man that we hit, that one guy, caused 600 American deaths at least.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the perpetrator of all those attacks, and we just took him out, that's all.
Yeah, I guess if you had the Hillary Clinton reset button right before that, then that's the way you'd look at it. But that's not the case. How many times have we seen Iran out there and, taking over oil rigs and shooting at our ships and being the aggressors and threatening to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, all of these things? How many times have they in the past given problems to not only us, but our allies? Marco Rubio, give credit to him the other day. He said that the president in the United States has shown great restraint based on the previous attacks that they have pushed in the previous years, that, you know, at some point you're going to cross a line, and they finally did.
Yeah. But I mean, there has to be a response to something. We can't be the only man on the block.
Interesting.
You know, as far as superpowers, and not get challenged. I understand that. But also, you got to understand, everybody has to understand, that if we pounce on somebody, they got to feel it at least. If they're going to torture us all the time and no response comes back, what is everybody doing?
Yeah, what is everybody doing? Hey, thank you, Big Al. Good to hear from you.
Yeah,
or Big Al, Big Ed. I'm sorry. I'm just,
Big
of course,
Ed.
I have
yeah,
it saying Big Al. Big Ed, thank you for calling in. Bye.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, force a habit with something like that. And you can text this in, too. Say you don't want to call in. You can still text 436-7900. Let's go to Bob, who's calling in. Hello.
Hello, is this me?
Yes, it's you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we ought to be, Trump and U.S. ought to be very careful about how they react to this missile launch against our troops. And, you know, a likely scenario would be that we would send a missile or two into where they launched their missiles from. But I'm thinking that maybe Iran might have a bunch of civilians in there to make it look like we killed a bunch of civilians. And I think a better way to look at this response would be to wait and maybe just take out some of their radar spots or some sort of military target. What do you think?
How do we know? And again, when it comes to terrorist organizations, and we have those there, how do we know that they're going to have any sort of compliance to what you would normally do during wartime? As in, are they going to be using women and children as human shields? The answer is probably yes. Are they hiding in areas where they know that we'd be hesitant to strike? The answer is yes. So I don't know how you do it. I think at any way, look at how, by, let me back up for a second. Bob, did you see when they took out General General Soleimani?
I have not seen that, but I understand that they blew the crap out of them.
Yes, and the thing that I want to point out about that video is just how surgical they can be with those missiles. It's unbelievable, because that was at an airport. Now, keep in mind, there's going to be a lot of civilians there. That was at an airport, right where they needed it to be, when they needed it to be, in order to minimize what it was. It was surgical. It was impressive. It was unbelievable. So if they have that capability to do it at an airport, it leads me to believe they also have that capability to try to minimize any civilians that may be around in some of these other targets.
Yes, yes. My point is, though, however, I think you missed my point, was that, yes, we can surgically strike exactly where those missiles may have been launched from, but maybe that the Iranians have a bunch of civilians where that launch was launched from, and that they're going to say, okay, now you killed a bunch of civilians, which we may not know, or may know or may not know, that they put all these civilians in there because, you know, Iran can do whatever they want to do with their civilians. They can force them to be there.
Yeah.
I think a better idea would be just like maybe take out a couple of their radar stations or maybe a few jets on their airfields or something. That's what I would do.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Right. Let me get to Dave, who's calling in. Hello.
Hello.
What's going on, Dave?
Just disappointed in what's happening over there in Iran. But I tell you, I think if I was Mr. Trump, I'd just tell our military, you know, hey, we don't have to kill a soul over there. Drop a bunch of leaflets in their language, you know, let the civilian people over there read them. Stating, you know, to leave or stay, you know, your choice. But we're going to bomb, and we're going to bomb the existing regime into oblivion. Just, I mean,
the propaganda,
like their capital
thick,
and all their military buildings, everything and anything there where they usually gather. Just bomb it. But give the people time, you know, to leave and get out of there. You know?
It's thick, though. I mean, the propaganda there is so thick. Number one,
I
don't even
absolutely
know if they believe it. Yeah, so even if you were to drop something like that off, who knows if they would believe it. I mean, they would find a way.
Some bitches are worse than Hitler.
Well, hey, thank you very much, Dave. Good to hear from you. Yeah, they're pretty terrible when it comes to that state-run media. They are super thick when it comes to the propaganda at this moment. You know, we could take some more of your calls. I may have to call David Peter Allen, and I talked to him before the show, and I let him know. I informed him that we may be taking this topic long, depending on if there's any news breaking here. So we're going to take some more of your calls at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And there's going to be a lot of news out of Iran as we look at the future and what's going to happen next retaliation-wise. As far as I can tell, the president is not going to speak tonight, and I don't know if they're going to have a statement tonight or not. We could be left in the dark. They could still be trying to figure out what they're going to be doing next. But the big question to you is, what do we do next? All right, if there was no American casualties, do we go full in? Do we go all the way in, you know, guns a-blazing? Or is this more or less a tune-up as in, okay, we're going to let this one slide? It doesn't look good if you let it slide. A lot of people are trying to figure out how we're going to react, and pretty much every news network's talking about that, too. We'll get an update from CBS News here in just a couple of minutes on Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back. We just called our guest, David Peter Allen, during the break, and I actually spoke to him before the show, and I said, we just don't know how this is going to go. We're kind of playing it by ear. And luckily, he said he is willing to reschedule. So he had a fantastic article, A Streetcar Thought Undesirable. Loved the article. I got to say, for someone that doesn't live in St. Louis, he nailed all the key points into the timeline of the Loop Trolley. So we're going to bring him on tomorrow. And the thing I'm most fascinated is he's been following rail news for like 20 years. What happens from here in his experience? I wanted to get some of his thoughts on that. So we're going to have him come on tomorrow to talk about that. All right, 436-7900. You can call or text that line, or 800-925-1120 is the number. And the big question is, we're watching what's going to happen next. Is the United States going to retaliate? If they are, when are they going to retaliate? If they're not, why won't they retaliate? And we have a special feed ready to go, CBS.
Well, you know, lucky for them.
You know, lucky for us, we get to pull up CBS anytime we need it. So whenever there's breaking news, we're going to bring it to you live here tonight on KMOX, since we are here.
Full House and Senate on the Soleimani strike. And you can
bet Soleimani strike. Martyr Soleimani is what they were saying. Oh, we just lost Mary. So, sorry. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. The big question is, everyone's wondering, is World War III about to start? I don't think it's about to start. Some people, I don't know if they're... This is the rut we get into. We fall into this trap every time. Breaking news story. Major news networks cover breaking news story. Major news networks speculate of what's going to happen next on major news story. Major networks decide to pull on guests that talk about the worst case scenarios on given breaking news story. Everyone says the worst case scenario is going to happen on breaking news story. Cycle, 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 cycle. Talk about it more and more and more and more and more. They do this. I don't think that if you target a base and there are no American casualties that you're going to start a World War III over that. But some people are looking at it and, you know, they're right to look at it. How do you talk the talk and not walk the walk after a moment like this when you're President Trump? You have to retaliate in some way. The thing that I'm a little bit surprised with is that there was no announcement from the White House tonight. Now, I could be talking about this right now, and there could have been some other news story that popped up. There could have been a response from the White House. But from what I was hearing an hour ago, they sent everyone home, and it doesn't look like President Trump is going to be addressing the nation or doing anything in that sense. So why not? This is your opportunity. This is a huge missed opportunity. You talk to the American people. You give us an update. You tell us what you're going to be doing next. All right? We don't have to always watch Twitter. Let me know what's happening. Come on now. Let me get to Mick, who's calling in from Fenton. Hi.
How you doing tonight?
Good. What's going on?
I just can't believe how, you know, these liberals are making this guy out to be some type of martyr, excuse me, and they want stability in the region, and when we take out one of the bad actors, they're screaming it's going to decrease stability in the region. What do they want? Yeah. What do they want?
Yeah, this was the number one terrorist in Iran, you know, number one. I don't see a downside of taking out the top terrorist. And if you're President Trump and you think, I have the opportunity to take out the number one, why don't you take that opportunity? And this is someone that's been credited.
I'm so happy he did.
Yeah.
I'm so happy he did.
And look at the past previous years. And he's someone that was designated a terrorist even back to the Obama administration, credited with killing 600 plus Americans. You don't ignore those sort of things. You don't apologize for taking out a terrorist that's killed Americans. You don't do it. And it's shocking to me that there's apologists out there for the United States saying that somehow we did a bad thing. All right. Hey, thank you, Mick. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
All right, let me go to Mary. Thanks for calling back, Mary. What's going on?
Well, I was reading the Wall Street Journal this morning, and there is a man from the UN headquarters, and he was just saying that his message is simple and clear: to stop escalation and exercise maximum restraint. And she, like, just like in a family when there's an argument. And what I'm concerned about is that we need to talk to one another. I had a chilling experience when I talked to a student. I didn't know he was maybe Middle East, and he was like a middle schooler. And I mean, he looked at me like with eyes of fear, and I thought, oh no. So we need to talk to each other. And the other thing is that their hearts are hardened, the religious ones, and there. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for hearts to soften and to follow that stop escalation and pray for our leaders to do that and to have wisdom and insight. And there's a lot of people in St. Louis who know what I'm talking about. They know about prayer. And so just like the Apollo 13, it was a miracle that thing came down. That was the first time all of us internationally could see a crisis. So internationally, everybody was praying for the same thing, get those guys down. And it was just a miracle that those guys made it back to Earth.
Yeah.
So we can focus and not fear and just pray for the escalation to stop, the hearts to change, and for us to talk to one another here in America.
Well, if the motto is, like, for Iran, if the motto is death to America, how do you change that heart?
Well, we don't. Hearts change by God.
Okay.
And then he will help us to know how to do that.
They are not serving the same God.
That's not the issue. He's a big God, and he can help us to learn to change hearts.
Again,
we just want him to do the job. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying how to. I'm saying let's pray, humble ourselves, and pray. God, help us to know what to do. And, you know, it comes from really needing his help. He kind of shows up.
Yeah.
Just like the Apollo 13. So many people were so desperate in praying for that to happen that those guys came back. That was a miracle.
Okay. Thanks, Mary.
So we need a miracle.
All right. Thanks, Mary. Bye. Wow. So Mary says we need a miracle. Maybe that's the only thing that's going to stop any escalation at this point, a flat out miracle. I don't know how you change the hearts of people that chant death to America and their whole purpose in life is to kill Americans. Let me go to Brian in Florissant. Hi.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
Good. Glad to hear that. I go back to 2011, and there was a battle going on between Iraq and Iran at that time, and a certain man by the name of Donald Trump on a radio program, I don't remember exactly which one it was, made the comment that he was worried that a man named Barack Obama was going to create this war in order to help him be reelected in 2012. It's kind of ironic. It seems like the same thing's going on.
Yeah, that tweet did not age too well for Donald Trump. I can't blame him for taking out a terrorist, though. Can you?
Well, I don't blame him for that.
No.
The one thing I do blame him for, though, and I've said this all along, and it's one of the few things that disappoints me in Donald Trump, and that's this, Ryan. We do not, when we have presidential things go on and people are acting presidential, you don't send tweets out at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. You talk to people during regular hours when people are expecting you to be talking to them and everything. And some of the stuff that comes out, just it makes no sense to me whatsoever, Ryan. I don't know.
Are you someone that is on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
No,
you know, I understand the strategy of being able to directly talk to the people, and he's effectively used that, using it in an official capacity. Yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons to it, and a lot of people like to make fun of him for tweeting out at 2 a.m., something that's retaliatory or something, but I don't see how that applies to what's going on right now.
Yeah, and the thing that scares me also with this whole thing happening right now, and it's happening as we speak, and that's the fact that all of the cabinet members of Trump have been taken out of the White House now. That tells me something big very well might happen overnight.
Why does that tell you something big's going to happen?
Just the fact that when something big does happen, now these people seem to be around. They don't want anybody to have any idea what's going on.
So you think that they were sent home so he could act as like a rogue agent and do something without their guidance? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's entirely possible.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
I
don't know. That might be a stretch. One person texted in, major news networks simply want to make Trump a warmonger. Clinton had 4 chances at bin Laden. Should he have taken one of those chances? And if so, what would CNN say? Should they have taken out bin Laden when they had a chance? You're right. they had opportunities and multiple opportunities. Should they have taken out a terrorist? We look at terrorism different after September 11th. When you take that opportunity and you have someone in your sights that's the number one terrorist in the world, or in this case, the number one terrorist in Iran, a country that wants to kill America and, you know, death to America, all of these things, you don't feel so bad when they're taken out. And I think we've learned our lesson. When you get those chances, you got to take them whenever they present itself. Let's see, 436-7900. You can call or text that line. We're going to get another update from CBS News in just a moment. We'll see if there's any updates there on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
All right, welcome back. We're going to get an update from CBS News in about a minute from now. But President Trump has tweeted. There it is. This may be the only statement we get from him tonight. Let me read it to you. This just came out 3 minutes ago, so it's brand new and fresh. Here's what President Trump tweeted. I'll read it. All is well. Missiles launched from Iran at two military bases located in Iraq. Assessment of casualties and damages taking place now. So far, so good. We have the most powerful and well-equipped military anywhere in the world by far. I will be making a statement tomorrow morning. So that about says it, statement in the morning. So while we wait for that, we're going to get CBS News. We've been checking in with them, and we have the ability to check in with them at any time through tonight. One of the advantages of being with you directly on KMOX. And let's see what CBS has to do in their next update. Let's check in now.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump just tweeted that all is well after Iran launched ballistic missile attacks on the U.S. military and coalition sites in Iraq tonight. The president says, so far, so good. We have the most powerful and well-equipped military in the world. CBS's David Martin.
If U.S. troops were killed or injured, I think that would increase the scope of what the U.S. plans to do in retaliation. But I think the red line has been crossed.
From Erbil, CBS's Ian Lee.
Right now, there's just a lot of anticipation of, is this over, mm-hmm. or is there going to be another round that's going to be incoming? Right now, really, no one knows.
CBS's Weijia Jiang at the White House.
President Trump has been meeting all night long in the Situation Room with Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and his National Security Advisor.
Iran's foreign minister tweets that that nation will defend itself against any aggression. CBS News Special Report. I'm Allison Keyes.
Okay, that's the latest, and we'll have ability to check in with him at any time. CNN, here's what CNN's saying on the bottom of their scroll right now. Iran's missiles hit areas of El Assad base not populated by Americans. Trump tweets all as well. So everyone's reading the Trump tweet right now. I feel like we got it out first. I feel pretty good, right? We got it before CBS News got it theirs. Did we break the Donald Trump tweet live on the air? We might have. All right, let me get a couple more of your calls, and we're going to get another CBS News update at the top of the hour. Let's go to John, who's calling in. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing there, Mr. Rucker? Do you think any of the so-called allies of the United States would support going to war against Iran, like Saudi Arabia or some of these other, like even Kuwait that the United States liberated from Saddam Hussein? Hitting up the drums for war. Looks like they're kind of scared of Iran. What do you think as far as United States coalition? Would it be just United States going against Iran or so-called allies like Saudi Arabia just backing out and just leaving it, you know, to where it comes to? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, John. Let me mention this. If you want to try to gauge where we are right now, and some people are worried that this is the start of World War III, but I personally don't see it that way. If you see other allies stepping up to the plate saying it's time for us to join the team, then I would be very concerned. I think that would be the time you would say, well, this is going to happen, right? That would be an indicator of the next step. I don't think what they've done to that military base is the next step. It's just status quo to what's been going on, I think at least. And here's one thing. I need to look into this a little bit more. And there is a Twitter account, Imam of Peace, and he has been tweeting out some really impressive inside information onto what's going on. He is someone that follows a lot of the key people overseas. And certainly when we can't read and talk the same language, you need someone that could translate it for us. And he's been doing that. And he said, and this is what he tweeted out, and it kind of goes with what you just mentioned. The Ayatollah has around $19 billion invested in the United Arab Emirates through third parties. And it says Iranian businesses in UAE own more than $300 billion. Many of it belongs to the regime. And they were threatening to bomb the UAE 5 minutes ago. So the Ayatollah is the biggest liar on the planet. And he's bringing this up because they do have business in and out. And I think the key point to take away from there is whenever you have Iran that comes out with some sort of information, keep in mind they control their message through state-run propaganda, and they are not reliable and they are not truthful. So if you see a headline that they're going to be doing this, don't take it for the truth. Just take it for this is a statement. It doesn't mean any further than that. And he's been pretty quick to point out a few other things. It says in a couple hours ago, too. Let me bring this back up. There was, Iran's online operatives are sharing old pictures and claiming they're from an hour ago. They must be exposed. The attack was very bad, but these pictures are false. So already operatives are out there sharing photos of what looks like a oil pipeline or an oil rig, something getting bombed, and there's big explosions. However, he's pointing this out, too, that a lot of times when you see this being pushed out there, they'll use old photos to make it look like this is what's going on right now, because it makes them look like, hey, we're active, we're big, we're scary, you know, look at us. But you got to be very careful because these pictures can be deceptive. They recycle old photos. They make it look like it's something that's new. He's pointing those things out, too. So President Trump tweeting out that there will be a statement tomorrow morning. I wonder if he's going to be giving that statement in person or if it's going to be a written statement. I don't know exactly what they're looking at tonight. You know, there could be something that happens tonight and we are just going to be covering it as it happens. It's not unheard of that we would be told that we'll wait till the morning and then boom, surprise. So we're going to be covering this, of course, all night, and you don't want to go anywhere. And if you have anything you want to say, we're going to be covering other topics tonight. It's not just going to be on this. You can always get your comments in at 314-436-7900. You can also call in 800-925-1120. And what's nice about CBS News is, look, I got a little button here. We can listen to them at any time.
Dawn.
Looks like they're covering birds now. Wait, hold on. Wait, what are they? I have no idea.
Scorched farmland. The sound of gunshots mingled with birdsong as local farmers had to put down hundreds of injured animals.
Oh, wow.
I grew up on that street. I planted that tree. See that tree?
Ronnie Aliff leads me through the shattered village.
All right, so I guess CBS is already covering different angles of this, some more human interest pieces or different sides of it as opposed to just the breaking news side. And like even CNN went to commercials, so I feel like a lot of them have seen this tweet by President Trump as the end of the, you know, when you have the two bookends. We've already had the start bookend. This might have been the end bookend for the night, so they're treating it that way. CBS News will come to them at the top of the hour, along with Alex Degman, who's going to be covering our local news. And if you have anything you want to say, we're going to talk a little bit more and give you an update of everything that we've known so far to this point. We're also going to be joined by Tom Sullivan, a friend of the show, give an update of what happened at the council meeting and his thoughts on the trolley shutting down on Overnight America KMOX.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.